This is the Sunday Catholic Word, a production of Catholic Answers, the only podcast to look at the Sunday Mass readings from an apologetics perspective.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Sunday Catholic Word, a podcast where we reflect on the upcoming Sunday Mass readings and pick out the details that are relevant for explaining and defending our Catholic faith. I'm Carlo Broussard, staff apologist and speaker for Catholic Answers, and the host for this podcast. In this episode, we're going to focus specifically on the gospel reading for the Easter Vigil Mass, because it directly relates to the solemnity that we celebrate this upcoming Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord. The passage comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Here's what we read. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, approached, rolled back the stone, and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards were shaken with fear of him and became like dead men. Then the angel said to the women in reply, Do not be afraid. I know that you are seeking Jesus the crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Then they went away quickly from the tomb, fearful yet overjoyed, and ran to announce this to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them on their way and greeted them. They approached, embraced his feet, and did him homage. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." There are five details in this passage that are relevant for apologetics, all of which have to do with alleged mishaps on Matthew's part in relation to other gospel accounts of the resurrection. It's common for Christian skeptics to claim that the gospels in their reports about Jesus' resurrection are contradictory. For example, agnostic New Testament scholar Bart Ehrman says they're hopelessly contradictory in his book, The Historical Jesus. In his 2006 debate with Dr. William Lane Craig, Ehrman gives what I see as five discrepancies that he thinks support his claim. Each have to do with this gospel reading. The first alleged discrepancy deals with Matthew's mention of Mary Magdalene being among other women, a detail that's also found in Mark and Luke's version of the event, Mark 16:1 through 3, Luke 24:10. But John only records Mary Magdalene as going to the tomb, according to John 20, verse 1. So which is it? Did Mary go alone, or did she go with other women, as Matthew says here? Our first response is that the objection falsely assumes that John was intending to say Mary Magdalene was the only woman. John merely showcases Mary Magdalene without any mention of the other women. And just because an account is incomplete or omits a detail, it doesn't follow that it's an error. Even Luke doesn't give a complete account of the women that went to the tomb in chapter 24, verse 10. Now, a second response is that John's later account of Mary's response to Peter and John indicates that he knew other women were with her. Quote, we read this. Verse 2 of John chapter 20. She ran and said to them, "We do not know where they have laid him." This would fit with Matthew's reference to more than one woman. Luke employs a similar tactic when he first showcases Peter going to the tomb in Luke 24:12, but then later informs his reader that others had gone as well in Luke 24, verse 24. Discrepancy number two focuses on Matthew's report that the women seemingly see the angel roll away the stone, there in verse 2 of Matthew 28. The problem arises when we consider that Mark 16, 3 through 4, and Luke, chapter 24, verse 2, record the women finding the stone that was already rolled away. Once again, the objection makes a false assumption, namely, that Matthew is intending to assert that the women witnessed the angel rolling away the stone. But when we examine the text closer, we see something else. First of all, as A. Jones argues in a Catholic commentary on Holy Scripture, The entire passage concerning the angel, the stone, and the guards who trembled and became like dead men, there in verses 2 through 4, seems to be a parenthetical statement. It's unlikely that the women would have conversed with the angel while the guards lay there as dead. Second, the details concerning the angel and the stone are introduced with the Greek conjunction gar. And behold, there was a great earthquake. Gar, translated in English as for, an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. Such an explanatory conjunction is used to introduce a clarification of a previous part of the sentence. For Matthew, the angel rolling away the stone is his explanation for the earthquake, not to assert that the women witnessed a stone-moving spectacle. That the earthquake is an explanation could be further supported by the Greek, which could be rendered as the simple past and thus translated as an earthquake had occurred. This would imply that the women didn't witness it. Even the angel's descent can be described as having already occurred, according to the Greek, which can be translated, for an angel of the Lord had descended. And that's how the International Standard Version translates it. But wait a minute, you ask. How did Matthew know about this stuff if the women didn't see it happen? Well, it's possible that Matthew received the details from the same source he received information about the conspiracy theory that the guards and the Jewish rulers made up in Matthew 28:11-15. If the empty tomb was part of the guards' story of all that had taken place, to quote Matthew in verse 11 of chapter 28, then it's possible the details in the parenthetical statement here in Matthew 28, verses 2 through 4, were part of it as well. Moving on to discrepancy 3. Discrepancy 3 states that Mark 16:5-6, and Luke 24:4, record that two men were sitting at the tomb. And Matthew says here in the gospel reading that it was an angel there in verse 5 of Matthew 28, which contradicts John's account of two angels being present, John 20:11-13. So, are they angels or men? And how many were there? Two or one? There seems to be some contradictions here. First of all, that some reports say men were present and others say angels were present in no way makes for a contradiction. It's plausible to suggest that Mark and Luke describe what the women saw, according to the phenomenological language. We talked about this in prior episodes. So Mark and Luke describing what the women saw, that is men, without any intention to suggest what they were. Recall that angels often appear as men. Genesis 18:1-2, Hebrews 13:2. Matthew and John, on the other hand, give an interpretation, perhaps the women's own interpretation, of what the women saw, and that is angels. So no contradiction is present here. Concerning how many were present, Matthew and Mark showcase the one who spoke to the women and simply omit the other. And as we've mentioned before, just because a report omits some details, it doesn't follow the report denies those details. And we need a denial in order to have a contradiction here. So no contradictions between the gospel writers concerning whether the nature of the beings, men or angels, and the number of those beings. Discrepancy 4 states that Matthew 28:16, along with John 21:1, report that the disciples went to Galilee as Jesus instructed, there in Matthew 28:7. But Mark and Luke don't mention it. They only report that Jesus appeared to them in Jerusalem, after which Jesus ascends into heaven. Now, for a contradiction to hold here, Luke and Mark would have to have said something like Jesus did not appear or only appeared to the apostles in Galilee. But Luke or Mark never say this. They simply omit the detail from their narratives. Once again, to omit a detail and to deny a detail are not the same thing. Since it's only an omission on the part of Mark and Luke, there's no contradiction. Finally, discrepancy 5 focuses on Matthew's report that the women went and told the disciples what they had seen and heard in Matthew 28:8, a detail that's confirmed by Luke in Luke 24:10-11. But Mark reports the women said nothing to anyone in Mark 16:8 because they were afraid. So did they speak or did they not speak? That's the question, right? A reasonable reading of Mark's report is that the women ran straight to where the disciples were gathered without stopping to speak to anyone on the way. This is supported by Mark's explanation that the women fled from the tomb trembling and that astonishment had come upon them and they were afraid, according to verse 8 of Mark 16. Such fear would account for why they would not be inclined to talk to anyone as they were fleeing. Moreover, Mark explicitly tells us that Mary went and told those who had been with him in Mark 16:10. So there's no discrepancy between what Matthew tells us here and what Mark tells us. Now, although these responses do not give positive evidence that the gospel writers are reliable in their reports about Jesus' resurrection, they do show that one cannot reasonably reject their reports because they are, in Ehrman's words, hopelessly contradictory. And given that such an obstacle is removed, one can at least be more open to accept them as trustworthy. And that's at least a step in the right direction toward having faith in Christ. This is how apologetics fits within the apostolic commission to make disciples, removing obstacles to faith in Christ. And with that said, you might want to check out my book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. You can get that at shop.catholic.com. Well, my friends, that does it for this episode of the Sunday Catholic Word. You are now equipped to defend the resurrection narratives and the Gospels against any skeptic who might want to challenge them. Thank you for subscribing to the podcast, and please be sure to tell your friends about it and invite them to subscribe as well. Also, if you're interested in getting some cool mugs and stickers with my logo, Mr. Sunday Podcast, which kind of looks like Mr. Clean, go to shop.catholic.com. I hope you have a blessed Easter weekend. And I know you're listening to this before Easter, but I'm going to say it anyway. Hallelujah, our Lord is risen. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to the Sunday Catholic Word. Find more great shows by visiting CatholicAnswersPodcasts.com or just search for Catholic Answers wherever you listen to podcasts.